everybody. Adrian Goodson, a.k.a. Goody. WNBA State of Mind coming to you from the stage. I got Marie Ferdinand with me and Alicia Milton, heavy hitters, you know, coming from the show. We're just going to sit here and talk about all things basketball. We had a fantastic weekend this weekend, alumni weekend, you know, that we shared with the team and the organization. You know, we ended up finishing up with some bling bling. I mean, just an absolutely fantastic weekend. And I'm going to let the girls talk about it. And then we're going to come back and talk about some basketball. We're going to talk about the WNBA. We're going to talk about Old Dominion. We're going to talk about Marie and what she's doing with her foundation. A lot of good things going on with the alumni players. And so, you know, we just want to like extend it to everybody. So, you know, next to the stage, back, Alicia, you know, talk about this weekend and how it was so important and so moving. And like, there wasn't a dry eye in the room.
Yo, this weekend was just fabulous. I only played with the San Antonio Silver Stars for like a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
So coming into this, I'm like, okay, am I really supposed to be here? Yeah. But they were so welcoming. Everybody had this whole aura about them where they didn't care if you played a 7-day contract or if you had a 12-year stint with the team. Everyone showed mad love, and that's really the way that it's supposed to be. And you can really feel the sentimental value behind every moment that people were able to spend with one another.
Yes.
It carries something, you know, within it. And that's what makes this event, this gathering, this homecoming so special.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just so many people, friends and family. You know, I feel like you guys are my sisters, your kids are my nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And like, we just keep growing. And
yeah,
from the first year, like, there was like maybe like 20 of us. And last year's 40. This year it seems like there's like 80 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps growing. So there's anybody out there who's a part of the alumni from Utah, San Antonio to the Aces, you should, you know, make sure that you come along and participate so that we can celebrate you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Alicia said, it doesn't matter how long you played.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you played.
Yes.
And all it takes is one thread to become a part of the family.
Hey,
would you agree, Marie?
That is absolutely the truth.
Talk about your weekend. This weekend and your experiences and just being around everybody. You know, she was the baby of the bunch, but you see she's all grown up now.
Yeah, this is my third year, and I always enjoy coming because it's like a sisterhood. You get to reconnect with old faces. Brings back so many memories. And this year, Delisha came about, and I'm like, oh wow, Delisha is here.
Yes.
So, you know, if not given this opportunity, I don't know, we're gonna cross talk with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I always treasure this weekend, and always, I know it's gonna be a lot of laughing, a lot of just reminiscing, and just
crying.
You know, and just really being together again, is it just bring back a lot of heartfelt memories. So it's something I look forward to every year.
You want to know something too, you guys? When I'm sitting here thinking about it, you said it. You said it's good for us to come back, but we're all so busy, and we're all trying to do or succeed in whatever is next for us after our careers have ended on the court, on the hardwood. But for Mark Davis to be intentional about setting a date, and not just setting a date and saying, hey, come if you can,
mm-hmm,
buy the plane tickets,
mm-hmm,
get the hotel room,
mm-hmm,
give you money to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just makes it impossible for you to say no.
Yes.
So when someone has that level of sensitivity, mm-hmm, then compassion and intentionality attached to what they're doing, you have to understand that when you do come, something magical is on the verge of happening.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
He made it an easy decision. It's either yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say no, shame on you, because when you look back and see all the videos and the highlights of the event, people had a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did want to say something about that, because just to interject about, you know, all of the videos and the content and the photos, it's not even about bragging or like saying ha ha or ha ha to other teams.
Yeah.
We're just so happy and so elated and so proud to be a part of this organization, because he never, ever had to include us.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have to.
He didn't.
And that was something that came from his heart, and that's what makes it so special.
Yes.
You know, and just to see him bringing people back and, you know, actually employing people and getting people involved and caring about our future and the future of our kids, is just absolutely incredible. And so we just want to pay homage to that and have respect for that for a few minutes before we rolled into you know, all things basketball, because Delisha is over at Old Dominion University,
yes.
You know, building that program, and, you know, being gonna be in that area a lot more this year, definitely gonna participate and try to help bring the alumni back,
yes.
Because alumni is so important.
We see,
you know,
right?
You went to LSU, Marie. Mm-hmm. You know, you went to Florida, mm-hmm. And how much joy do you guys get when you go back and you to the alumni games on the college level, which is special because now you got even more people.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people,
yes.
Because now it's generations and generations, mm-hmm. that came, mm-hmm. before you.
That's true.
Absolutely.
That's true.
You
that's
know?
True. And Holly, you touched on something too. When you think about the WNBA, we're in year what? 27?
Yeah.
27, y'all. Some people got kids.
Yes.
That are that old. You know, when you think about Cheryl Swoop's son.
Mm-hmm. Yes, JJ.
JJ. Then you think about Tina Thompson's son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lisa's daughter.
Yes.
I mean, what?
Yep.
I mean, this is wild, but the generations, the connectivity within it all. We all went to different universities. Now, we've been in this thing has been in existence long enough to where your teammates weren't just teammates in college. They were teammates in the pros too. Whether it's internationally or even within the WNBA. And now we're able to bring all that back together. This game is a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Relationships after relationships, mm-hmm. after relationships.
Yeah, yes.
And it's up to you to continue to build that relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
every relationship, you know, two people have to come together, three people have to come together to make it work. And so, you know, this is absolutely fantastic moment. I'm so happy that I get to have both of you guys. You're talking about two heavy hitters from high school to college to USA basketball to overseas to the ABL to the WNBA. Infinity.
Yeah.
And all of those connections.
Yeah.
You know, we can sit here and we can share so many stories. And we'll have another time, we'll revisit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just come back again and, you know, just keep watching these moments and
yes.
seeing how we're growing upon them.
Yes.
You know, it's absolutely great.
Yes.
And you know, I'm gonna circle back to, you know, Old Dominion.
Okay.
Right? 1985, we won a championship, Sun Belt Conference. Mm-hmm. You guys are full circle.
Full circle.
You came back to the Sun
back
Belt Conference, so you got some noise to make this year. Talk
Big
about
time.
That.
Big time. So yeah, going back into the Sun Belt Conference, everyone talked about the rivalries, especially with James Madison.
Yes.
You know, and now we're back in this thing and we're deep in it. And they're expecting us to be as a whole.
Yes.
You know, all they know is winning. All they know is success,
yes.
based off of the foundations that you guys laid. When I took over the program after my good friend Nikki McCray Pinson passed away,
yes.
She even had the program trending in the right direction.
Yes.
So I came in and I felt pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But I do my best work under pressure.
Yes.
You know, we've been teammates. We know these things, right?
Yeah.
And I've had to guard you. That was pressure. So you understand this too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the pedigree, the legacy within ODU women's basketball, it is of excellence. It is a standard there that runs deep into the history of the program. And it's on my shoulders to make sure that we continue that. So we have a really good schedule set up. Our season opens on November 7th,
yes.
against, I believe it's Lincoln University,
okay.
the D2 team. But we play the likes of NC State, Xavier,
yes.
Elon.
Yes.
We have a nice balanced schedule of Power 5 schools, high mid-major schools, and then obviously anyone we play in our conference is going to be a good game.
Yes, absolutely. That sounds fantastic. I can't wait. I'm very, very excited about it. You know, I get work out over at the school,
mm-hmm.
And so I get the opportunity to see the girls. So I got to talk to them. Listen, it's time. You go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yep.
Let's go.
Pay the
we haven't had nothing since I think it might have been 2009.
That's
it's
a long
go time.
Time.
It's go time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have the clientele and we got the athletes to do it.
We definitely
so it's
do
just
it.
About, you know, digging down and you know, making it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and in order to the other side, these LSU people
uh-oh.
With the championships.
Uh-oh.
You know,
uh-oh.
And you need to talk about your alumni. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
you came from a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you came out of LSU, you know, you were one of those rookies that we were proud of you. Because
mm-hmm.
we knew we were gonna get you going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were so athletic, but you were also mature.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy for us at Utah to transition with you because we got our own wins. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have to teach that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to teach running.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. Then once we crossed on the baseline, it was over.
It was over.
It was a problem.
Oh, fuck.
So we were balling out there in Utah, you know? And, you know, talk about how excited you were for your LSU this year.
Well, I was very excited. You know, we get a Kim Mulkey, which is very fortunate, to come and revitalize our program. Mm-hmm. And she stepped in and showed out real fast. You know,
normally
it takes a coach 2, 3, 4, 5 years to figure it out, get the kids and the athletes to buy in. And she was able to get their buy-in very fast. And the insurance will definitely help with that. Mm-hmm. So to see the program back now on top, and little girls are like, oh, I want to go to LSU. I'm like,
yes.
Wow. Because you're always hearing that with UConn and the Tennessees and Notre Dame. You know, so to hear him saying LSU again, it's a great thing. But my whole happiness with this whole Kim Mulkey is Kim Mulkey. I mean, we've had alumni weekends before Kim Mulkey and I mean, the alumni didn't come back, you know, but Kim Mulkey come and changed everything. I mean, all the alumni get boxes, packages every year from Kim Mulkey and the staff,
so
it warms our heart to want to come back because she is letting it be known that, hey, it started with you guys and we're going to need you guys, you know, and she demonstrates that by her actions. I mean, we get these boxes and we have this LSU group chat with a bunch of us and we're like, did you get your box, girl? Did you get your box? I got my box. So, and you know, it's she gets it. Kim knows she can't do it by herself and she needs a village. And she reached out to her alumni. Because you know, alumni's got donors and they know people and it's all about recruiting. And so I'm just happy that we're trending in the right direction these days.
Absolutely. I mean, she's a hell of a recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's easy to recruit you guys back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got all your addresses, telephone numbers, emails. She can get in touch with you. So any coach that's a great recruiter is going to be able to bring the alumni back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's always so refreshing to see every person. You know, as I'm here, you're listening to a WNBA State of Mind.
Mm-hmm.
I got my girls here, Delisha Milton, Marie Ferdinand here on the show. We're chopping it up. You know, for anybody who's just joining in, we're talking all things basketball, from ODU to LSU to the WNBA, okay? USA Basketball, we're covering it all, you know, right here in this moment. So if you're just joining in, I appreciate it. You know, we're gonna wrap it up in a little bit, but I can tell you this. We're going to keep this going, you know, and make it something that, you know, we have players talking. This is a great atmosphere. We can just share stories and remember some of the things that we did, funny things, you know.
Oh,
as
Lord.
I'm sitting here, I'm remembering, you know, stuff we used to torture Marie. We used to torture her. We used to put a Barbie doll in her locker room. In her locker. We would hang it.
It was so bad.
We would hang
what?
It. The next day, she would be in a car with glasses on, just like, yeah. And Jennifer was in charge of this, right? Jennifer was getting a kick out of it. And I mean, every single day, Barbie was in a different position. She might have a rock on her head the next day. And she kept on coming in. Marie was like, what is this? Yeah, we were ushering her in. Like, she didn't even know. Like, we were like, okay, we're going to mess with Marie. And Jan, it was AZ used to get a kick out of it.
AZ always had something.
Yeah, jokester. She really was a jokester.
Always.
So we joked around a lot in our locker room in San Antonio. You know,
but
Utah
was
more about business. But when we got to San Antonio, we had to loosen up a lot, you know, and try to get to know each other and do, you know, more things like understanding each other's personality.
Mm-hmm.
We did that when Utah, we gelled a lot. When we went to San Antonio, things happened, man. And so it was hard for us to stick together. We started losing people. We lost Natalie before we got there.
Mm.
They sent her to Indiana.
Yeah.
You can't replace that.
No. Now she's on route.
She was in route.
She
was in route to San Antonio with the babies.
Sydney and...
With Sydney, yeah. The two
and Taurasi.
Yep. And they called her on the phone. We were so upset. Before we got to San Antonio, we already had... Like, we were having
first.
Yeah, it was bad juju in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the next year, they got rid of Margo.
Yeah.
So it just was like, you know, and I was like, oh, well, you know, it's me and Marie now. Like, which one going there?
Like, so everything. Like, they all started just the key pieces. You know,
they dismantled it. So it was like, wow.
Y'all were so tough in Utah. Mm-hmm. I remember them games.
It was
y'all
tough.
Were tough.
Yeah.
It used to be LA, Houston. Ooh. I remember 1 year we just.
That was too late after 2002, before we left. We was like 2003 or something. We getting that ring. We had agreed on it before we had left. And then, boom, it imploded. And we were all like...
Y'all
and you know when Jennifer started calling people?
Uh-oh.
She's like,
bitch,
what's going on? Girl, I don't know.
People were worried. People were worried.
You know, so that... We learned all those things, you know, mm-hmm. and we learned how to float.
Yep.
We learned how to float. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there anything that you'd like to say to anybody that's younger out there that's aspiring to be a basketball player? Because I know there's a lot of kids, and I train girls, mm-hmm. and I coach boys, and, mm-hmm. you know, I try to tell them, like, listen, go and study the craft. Yeah. Stop looking at highlight videos and then going and making that movie. You don't even understand why you're making that
Come
movie.
On.
You blew by that person and then pulled it back. Right where they were going, right where you left them, so you could pull up a jumper. Talk about that, like how we're trying to break all these habits that we have to deal with social media right now.
Look, there's beauty in everything, but then there's also some hell in things too. And the hell of the moment that kids are growing up in right now is you get a snippet of things. You never get the full version. Like, what is the point in getting a snippet of a movie and you'd be like, oh, that's exciting. This is like a highlight reel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. But then when you really look at the body of the whole work, is it really good?
Yeah.
You might have missed the plot. You know, you got to see the buildup. So for players nowadays, I would say don't get caught up in the hype. There is so much value in keeping things in that old-fashioned way where you go from start to finish. You can't skip steps. Now, I love the fact that they can get on social media and they can Google Marie Ferdinand Harris and they can see just how deadly of a player that you are or were. The same with you, Goody. They can see that power, that pizzazz you played with. You were a hooper that could play basketball. When they can study that and they can pull snippets and say, I want to add that to my game, that makes them better quicker, right? But now there's also value in taking that, applying it daily when you're working out, but then having conversations. If you get on social media, DM Marie, DM Goody, go and subscribe to your podcast and ask questions, pick your brain so that you can extend their knowledge.
Yes.
Not just based off of what they saw and wrote their own notes on, but you can give them little nuggets that really just carry things over for them. Now you have the beginning of the movie, now you have the middle, and now the ending is up to them, how they can finish it. So that's how you build your game, by building your knowledge. You learn, then you understand, which gives you knowledge, but when you become wise, that's when you have adapted all three of those things. You learn, you have an understanding, and you have knowledge about, you can talk about what you're doing, but the wisdom, it's almost like, it is you, and it only happens through time.
Yes.
So be patient with this thing so that you can become what you're supposed to become and have the impact you're supposed to have.
Absolutely. Fantastic advice for these kids out there.
I love it.
You know, and to piggyback off of what you said, you know, the one thing that I've always enjoyed about men's basketball, one thing I've always enjoyed about the NBA is the fact that they bring their players back to be around those kids and teach them the game. You got the former players coming back. I love looking on your bench and seeing 4, 5, 6 former players, that
Come
are sitting on the side teaching them the game.
Come on.
Because the only way it's going to grow is if they have people around them that can tell them where they're going.
Yep. And that's where I think the WNBA is missing out on a lot.
Yes.
You can go get coaches from Timbuktu and beyond, but it ain't nothing like having a former player that played in that league, regardless of their role, whether they were the leading scorer and rebounder, MVP, defensive player of the year, or they were a role player. You know, there are beautiful, bright minds that can come back and they can impart wisdom on the players that are here today. But we have to have that opportunity to be on the sideline.
It's almost like
absolutely
Udonis Haslam with the Miami Heat. Like, they literally sign him only to be that a mentor for that young team. And he stuck around 5 more years, but just his job is to keep that team chemistry amazing. Calm, control. You know, but that's valuable.
It really is.
It's valuable.
And I, you know, and this brings me back to what's her name, Alexis Morris from LSU. Made a statement about, you know, basically the old players need to get out the way. No, not necessarily. You know, because there is a value that is pretty priceless. When you have an old vet that is willing to take a lesser role and understand that role to be able to further progress the franchise. You need vets. Everybody needs a grandma.
Alexis Morris gonna eat her words. She gonna eat them very well. That's gonna implode. It's gonna implode. Because once you start showing disrespect for what came before you, God won't even bless you.
Well, I hope that she can learn. I really do.
Because I hate, you know, that young ignorance. And we have that young ignorance, not only in the WNBA, but we see it, it's prevalent in the NBA. And that's the reason why we need mentors. So we can show you the ropes and say, listen, this isn't what you do. This is the do's and don'ts on social media. You know, having those people, that group of people around you that are praying for you and helping you and mentoring you and make sure you stay on track. Because when you lose focus of all of your dreams, hopes, and aspirations, I can hinge upon somebody else to remind me of where it is that I'm trying to go. Okay? Because I may not know where I'm going, but I sure ain't lost.
That part.
Okay? And so with that, that's why it's so important to have people around us. You know, we stayed around you.
And
Jennifer, Natalie, we stayed around her because we knew that the more we had her playing good, okay, then we had to worry about
nothing else.
You know what I'm saying? Because she was going to be the future, and we all three of us understood that as vets, this is the future of the team. We're going to guide her through, and then she's going to lead it.
And I don't even think y'all understood what y'all did because some people just leave that responsibility to the coach.
Or to the player.
Or to the player.
Figure it out because
y'all bridge the gap.
Because we wanted to win. And that's what it's about. It's about peeling off of your own skin and finding out what the team needs. What is it that I can do to make the team better? Because I'm gonna have to strip off some of that scoring. Okay?
Come on now.
Not everybody had five. I had 4 All-Stars on my team. I didn't get pissed off about going to get the rebound. You know what I did? I led the team in rebounding from my position and ended up being number 1 in the world in my position in rebounding.
Look at that.
Because I was like, I'm not fighting for the ball, but I'm going to rebound. I figured out her timing on her shot, timing on Natalie's, timing on Marie's. It was
made life easy for yourself.
Easy. Egan, get good off the boards. Yep. Heard that a lot.
Yep.
You know? Think about if players in today's generation fought like that, there would be almost 5,000 players in the transfer
world. Come on now.
Like, if they find other ways to make a production instead of quitting and giving up. Yep. And just thinking the grass is green on the other side, you know, it wouldn't be such high number of players quitting before they even finish.
Me and Sylvia Crawley were talking this morning, and we were talking about leadership, and we were relating it to the Bible, and she had some very tremendous points where leaders sacrifice. Usually people think a leader is someone who sits there and everyone answers to their beckon and call. And they get to tell people what to do. But the true leaders, what y'all were doing in that locker room, when y'all went outside of yourself and committed to the good of the goal. The goal was to win. And in order to get there, y'all knew y'all needed her. So the leader in you sat down and was like, hey, young buck, come here, let me show you the way. That's what made the league so good back then, and that's why the timing was perfect for it to be us to be the ones to carry that torch, right? But now when you look at the lead, where are the leaders?
Absolutely.
I only can think of NECA. You know, that one that's sticking her neck out for the good of everybody, but too many others are worried about their brand. Their positioning, their money, their opportunity. And is that really true leadership?
No, because you still have to build. Because you will never probably receive all that you want. You're building for the next person. Okay, just like our grandparents did, our ancestors did. They walked so that we could have a better life. And they had a true understanding of that. And somehow we got to get back to that in our sports. you know, yeah. And especially in the WNBA, I'd like to see that more. So, Uri, I want you to caveat out for us, you know, talk about, give the kids something that they can hinge upon. You know, you had a lot of grit, you had a lot of spirit, you had a lot of confidence, which isn't something that a lot of people have. So what can kids do to, like, hone their confidence? You know, should they hang out with people? What, like, give them some ingredients, and then also talk about your foundation.
Okay, well, I don't know. I've always believed in hard work. I believe in first one in, last one leave mentality. I basically, a value of a minute. What does that mean? Whether you're in the game for 30 minutes, 1 minute, just make a production. Whatever is given, capitalize off it. And that's pretty much my DNA. It's been my DNA since day one. And if you have that mindset, then I feel like you never lose. You know what I mean? Because you can only control what you can control. Yeah. So that's my advice to young people. And talking about the Be Like CJ Foundation, a lot of people, and I don't even know if Delisha knows actually, but we have three boys, and we lost one of our boys named CJ. Mm-hmm. And CJ was the star in our movie, literally. At 14, built like he was 18, just literally had scholarships all over the place, could have played NFL, NBA, baseball, whatever sport. The kid was just, he was just special, you know. But what made CJ amazing, it's not even his athletic ability, it was the person he was. You know, he was just so humble. You know, CJ was that kid that was a star player, but cared less about the star treatment. He didn't care about that. CJ, you'll find him every day in school sitting with the kids who have special needs, sitting with the kids who have holes in their shoe, didn't have much. CJ wanted to just uplift those kids and make them feel like rock stars. You know, he cared less about touchdowns and 30-point games. Those didn't do anything for him. You know, he used the sport actually to really love people. You know what I mean? His, as big as he got, he used that attention to go and find that kid that needed a friend and just go sit with them. And when he would sit with that kid would be blessed. He'd feel empowered. Like, wow, CJ sat with me today. And we are in a little small town and everybody knows CJ. So CJ sitting to eat with you was just like, I sat with CJ. So he was making these kids who didn't have confidence, didn't have a plan, didn't know, just was being picked on. He was making their day every day. He didn't care. He just smiled. He was just, and people thought he was weird because he hung around people who was different. But those kids who were different had his heart. He just had a heart for the broken and cared less about the accolades. I mean, he begged my husband and I to not tell any of his teammates that he had scholarship offers. He just didn't want no part of it. That was CJ. So everyone talks about CJ's character, the person he was, not even his ability. So with that, we wanted to continue CJ's legacy. So we started the Be Like CJ Foundation, where we're inspiring young people to be kind, to be humble, to be respectful, to be like CJ, to be that ultimate teammate. What does that ultimate teammate look like? You know, the ultimate teammate have that winning attitude. Whether they play 1 minute, 30 minutes, they're always looking to inspire someone else, make a production on the bench. That was CJ's whole attitude. So we're excited about the direction for the Be Like CJ Foundation. We've already done so well within 2 years of existence. And I know the future is bright with the amount of impact that we're going to make on young people and changing their attitude. And not only that, but we're also on the other side of loss. We want to host retreats. We want to have like brief discussions where we're talking to families who've lost loved one, to where, you know, there's just a lot of people suffering in silence, and we want to share our strength. We want to share some of our tools. You know, God has given us an unexplainable strength to talk about this. And through this whole process, we've been comforting people. People haven't been comforting us. Wow. It's been the weirdest thing. I just feel more empowered that God trusts me with this, because sometimes I run into moms and they're like, I could do this. I don't know how you're doing it. And that empowers me, like, wow, Lord, you trust me with this. And I don't want to fail them. So I live my life trying to be a light to people and trying to bring about programs and opportunities that's going to help people to understand that, hey, this too shall pass and God has a plan. You'll see why. You'll understand. But just keep doing his work. And so I love sharing CJ's story, because every time I share CJ's story, it becomes a Jesus story. Mm-hmm. Literally, people come to our home and they come in very afraid to even come talk to us because they feel so sad for us. Mm-hmm. But when they leave, all right, Marie, we'll see you later. It's like a revival because they've been empowered with Jesus. And wow, it's, you know, they leave different than they came in. Mm-hmm. And they're like, if I can have some of what she has. Man, and they feel like they can get through whatever they're going through. Because if this woman can lose her child and have this great faith, this courage, this strength, I can deal with this. I can deal with the little things I'm dealing with. So I love sharing. I love speaking about it. I'm grateful to God that He chose me, because not everyone can be picked for this. So I don't want to let them down. So that's Be Like CJ.
Wow. Whoa.
Listen. That's my little baby growing up. Okay? That's my baby growing up. We're going to take it out of here on that one. Listen to a WNBA State of Mind. You know I love you, Sammy Sosa. Peace out.
Sammy Sosa.
That's my every show, Sammy Sosa. I got people doing that in my show, and they be like, Sammy Sosa. And I see people, they be like,